All right, welcome into the third, almost a third annual, which doesn't make sense. Third Flagrant 2 podcast with Bill Ryder and Reed Forgrave. Hashtag the podcast where we don't whine and cry about the other four podcasts and the same thing. Reed Forgrave in Miami. What's up, man?
That's a long hashtag you just gave out there. I don't know if I could. It takes up like 42 characters. You're going to need the full 280 for that.
Yeah, what's with the people on Twitter who's like, I'm like at Sports Writer. You're at Reed Forgrave. What's it like at I really like to eat tacos from Miami? Like, yeah, I can't write you back, bro. Got three characters.
I feel so glad that when I first joined Twitter that I didn't try to come up with a fancy, silly Twitter name because I kind of look down my nose at those people.
I hate Twitter. Can I be honest? I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say I hate Twitter.
You're not you. Dude, you're a sports writer. You are at Sports Writer.
I absolutely hate it. You know what I don't hate?
I'm with you, man.
I don't hate iTunes reviews, which people should absolutely do. Go on there. Give it 5 stars. Tell us why Forgrave is carrying me the whole way. We all know it's true. Get into it. All right. So, Rita, the NBA is so smart, right? They are so much more capable, in my opinion, and understand so much more effectively how to reach their audience, whether it's social media. They don't dispute as many highlights as the other leagues, even though it's probably against some of the rules what you see on YouTube and social because they know it's how you reach fans. And I love that every year the NBA itself has a general manager survey where the GMs answer all kinds of questions that can, in theory, piss people off. It's out again today. I love this stuff.
The way that they keep in the conversation 12 months out of the year, the NFL keeps in the conversation in a bad way sometimes. To me, the NBA's PR machine is the best in sports in a weird way, and I'm showing some of my biases here. I'd also throw the UFC in there. I think the UFC does an incredible job at promotion, but obviously kind of a niche sport. The NBA, I think, does it so well and gives you so much insight into these players and executives' minds, which is exactly what this GM survey is.
All right. It's also the GM survey is a great reminder how smart you and I are, Reed, because I guess I'll speak for myself. I was like a really humble way, but like, I'm smart.
I was getting all ready for the writer compliment.
I'm so smart. So I don't think Russell Westbrook should have won the MVP last year. I think it's ridiculous. I wouldn't have voted for Harden. I would have voted for LeBron James. There's a lot of reasons for that. One of them is that if his teammates hadn't tipped him a rebound and a half per game, Russ doesn't get the triple-double, doesn't get the MVP. And here's what I will say. The GM survey, I think, backs that up because if Russ and Harden were truly unequivocally the most valuable players on their teams, it shouldn't really matter who gets added, right? They should be better when surrounded by great players if they're not just the product of a system or a situation where they're talented and surrounded by a bunch of scrubs, right? The old rookie on a bad team puts up stats, superstar on a bad team puts up a lot of stats. But when you look at who will win the 2017-18 MVP, Russell Westbrook nowhere to be found. James Harden all the way down at 4th, just 7% of the votes. It goes LeBron 1, half the GMs. Kevin Durant 2, a third of the GMs, almost 29%. Kawhi Leonard, 11%. For me, man, this is just a reminder. It's not like Kevin Durant doesn't play with some studs. That the best players in the game are not, I think, the guys that were celebrated last year.
I completely agree. I mean, look, here's the thing with LeBron. He could and probably should win the MVP every single year. Problem is, he's not competing against Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook. He's competing against himself and the media.
That's true.
And when we vote for this stuff,
and I've had
storylines. We like storylines. We like new blood. And LeBron, you're like, he's put up 38 and 7 every single year. So let's not. He hasn't improved since last year.
Last year was down to 25 or 26. And if you look at it, I think it's the best year of his career. I think he had career highs in assists per game. He had career highs in rebounds per game. He was efficient. He distributed the ball. He made other guys better. I mean, to your point, and here's the thing. I have had a bunch of votes, and this is terrible because I do take it seriously when I have a vote and I make a bunch of calls and I talk to a bunch of scouts. I talk to a bunch of GMs. I don't think I've ever voted for LeBron. And I say that, I have to go back and look, as somebody that feels a little – I voted for Steph the year he was unanimous. I voted for Steph the year before. I didn't have a vote last year. I would have been the sole – I would have been the only guy that would have voted for LeBron. I'm sure gotten ridiculed by Deadspin. But I think it's interesting, Reed, is what do – because GMs are trying to parse this like we are. Why are they so convinced that LeBron's going to do it? It's probably because, last year in Cleveland – F you, Kyrie Irving. I'm trying not to swear because the CBS brand is important. And producer Joey, with his giant beard and his NBA background, got really mad at me and left, ironically, an F word laced voice message to not use F words. But I think, like, I think it's interesting. I think GM, because what has LeBron done really the last few years? And you talked about this when I covered in Miami. Even then, he studies the game. He studied Greg Popovich. He studied the way that rest works. And I think he took off moments, games, sat himself, played fewer minutes. You look at sort of some of the rhythms of last season. I think GMs are anticipating he's going to play more minutes. He's going to be more involved. He may very well in the long run be the point guard, even though at times he would take the ball out of Kyrie's hands. I think we're going to see maybe, here's my bold prediction for the year, the best LeBron James we will ever see.
Wow. Wow. I mean, look, he's surrounded by less talent. And to me, that means his stats go up. I mean, that's what we saw with Russ and with Harden last year. When they were around better players, sure, their teams were better, but their stats were not nearly what they were last year. But look, with Isaiah Thomas out till January, maybe February, that's going to pump up LeBron's stats. It's going to put him more in the point. I think you're absolutely right. Look, what I'm more curious about is if there is some sort of just like dark horse that we're not thinking of.
Giannis
just explodes this year.
Giannis, or
I'd also throw out, and his name is on the survey quite a bit on other questions, Karl Anthony Towns, because this.
What city? I forget what city you live in.
I live in the Midwest.
Does it begin with an M from Minneapolis?
Well, no, I'm in Miami right now. I'm not.
Okay.
Right now, I'm in Miami.
I got it. Yeah. I think Cat's awesome, and I think that makes sense because other than Westbrook, right? Like you anticipate that a guy like that's a dark horse that would win an MVP would also be the focal point of a team that makes a big jump forward, yeah, rather than in Westbrook's case a regression. I know the regression is because of the guy that's number two on this list from the GMs this year, Kevin Durant. By the way, this is not hating on Durant. Maybe it's hating on Durant. He's super sensitive. He'll think it's hating on him if he ever hears it. It shouldn't. It makes me mad to see him on the list this high ahead of Curry because I still think he's drafting off of what Curry created. He's an amazing player, but I still think he's drafting off what Curry created.
You just want your name on his new shoes for 2018.
Yeah, he would spell it wrong. He doesn't Phil Wright, Phil Smiter. That's not my name. I don't care. I don't read you. I'm Kevin Durant.
No, man, I'm with you. I mean, we talked about this a lot in the last podcast, but just like I don't hate him. I mean, I don't begrudge him. Do what you want. Sign with the team that is already the best team in the league. But when I'm voting for MVP, that's going to be in the back of my mind.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Kawhi Leonard at three is where I would have probably voted for him last year. Actually, I might have had Kawhi at two. Harden, 7%. I think that's going to be really interesting. We'll talk about that more later. His sort of Chris Paul marriage. I'm a huge Steph guy, but obviously Steph has been willing to take a back seat. Last year's prediction, by the way, was LeBron James at 47%. If you were I love this question, and I love that the GMs are asked this by the league. If you were starting a franchise today and could cite any player in the NBA, who would it be? Which also gets into like, how old are they? What are your preferences? Are you building for the long term? And I wholeheartedly disagree with the number one at 29%, and it's weird, but it actually says in here, Reed Forgraves' hometown man crush. Is that Karl Anthony Towns?
I would actually flip these. I think what you're probably about to say is that Giannis should be one.
I think
I would, just because of the types of players that they are. Giannis, to me, has more versatility than Towns. If he adds a shot to his game, like, he doesn't have a single weakness. And look, that's a big if. Players who come into the league without a great outside shot don't frequently become great from outside, but he could become competent. If he becomes competent,
LeBron
he can
wasn't
do
a great
it.
Shooter. Yeah, LeBron wasn't a great shooter coming out of high school, and he got there. He's not an amazing shooter. I'm with you. Can I throw a guy on the list that I would very strong? Let's say that I had the second pick. Let's say somebody took Giannis. Let's say you got the first pick, right? And I had to settle after Giannis. LeBron's interesting, and you probably should take him because you're in it that year. I would still strongly consider Steph Curry, who got votes, who received a vote. And here's why. I think he's criminally underrated, especially for a guy that's been a two-time MVP and the only unanimous MVP of all time because of Durant. He's the greatest shooter of all time. But I am a big believer in culture. And, you know, I don't think he gets enough credit for creating at one of the worst and most losing cultures in sports, not just in the NBA. That's what Golden State was, a place where Klay Thompson, not a top three pick, became a star, where Draymond Green, not a top three pick, became a star, where Kevin Durant, the number two pick in the draft, left and broke the hearts of Oklahoma City to play with those guys. I don't think Curry gets enough credit for what he helped create there.
No, it's a great point. He turns 30 this season.
Right? Is he that old?
Yeah, he's 29 right now. Turns 30 and kind of right before the playoffs. So he ain't getting any younger, and he doesn't have that. I mean, with the injury issues in the past, I get that he's gotten past that, but it would give me a little bit of a pause to pick him over, you know, the human robotic basketball machine that is LeBron James.
He's gonna
be Tom Brady at age 45. He's gonna figure out a way to play in the league.
All right, two questions: Kawhi or Durant? Question one. I'm by the way, my answer is Kawhi.
Me too.
Because that way Kawhi helped create something, then Durant can go break somebody else's heart and come and hang out with us after we turn into a winning. Shots fired, man. It's interesting. A guy that I remember, I used to argue with Gary Payton with the glove about this, and he would scream at me 3-4 years ago that Anthony Davis I thought would be a top five player in the league. It came true, and then it kind of went away. He got votes, but he's almost an afterthought these days.
It's bizarre what's happened the past, couple years with him, how he hasn't fallen off the radar, but I don't think people talk about him the way they used to a couple years ago. Maybe it is the injury issues. He certainly has been caught by the injury bug more than once. And to be honest, I think the issue is the franchise he plays for. That franchise is among, I think, one of the worst in the league. I tend to think that they are going to be going into rebuild mode within the next year or two, and he's heading somewhere else. And if he heads to that sort of franchise that has that culture that you talk about with Steph and with Draymond and with Klay in Golden State, I think we could have a reset back to when we thought he was a top five player in the league. I mean, do you think that's it? How much does New Orleans bring him down in this conversation?
I got to tell you, I think a lot. And I was at the All-Star game when the trade went through, right? Like when the announcement came through, the Boogie was going, and we were all in New Orleans, like for the All-Star game, when Boogie was like coming to town and he was there and he couldn't answer questions. It was like a scandal where, like, you know, you shove a camera in someone's face. You're like, you've been caught on camera stealing from your dental patients. Only it's like, you're going to New Orleans, and Boogie was all put out. It was real weird. And I kind of bought the hype. Like, this team's going to be great. And they were sub 500 with Cousins and AD playing together, which, so I think you might see more of the same this year, which is a team not playing at the level you expect from a guy that's should be a bona fide superstar. His injury issues, Reed, make me wonder. I'm going to ask you this. Are you ready for hot take number two?
Yeah. I want to hear more about you stealing from your dental patients, bro, personally.
LeBron,
but go into hot take,
like, yeah, I used all my analogies up on the radio show. And so, like, although I had a dud yesterday, I was like halfway through an analogy on the air. I was like, I was Lonzo Ball in that game where he like jumps in the air and he's like, I can pass. There's nowhere to go traveling. Literally, I just halfway through the analogy. I'm like, all right, let's move on to that topic. I suck at radio. I'm hosting the show. If you could wave a magic wand and tell me he'd be healthy for the next 5 years, right? He would play 75 games a year. I would strongly consider Joel Embiid on that list.
Boy, that's a great question. I was thinking when I was looking at, like, who is a dark horse MVP this year? I mean, he would be a dark horse, but 75 games? Yeah, man. 75 games for 5 years? Absolutely put Embiid on that list. Or, I mean, frankly, I'd put Embiid and Anthony Davis 75 games a year right at the top of that list.
All right, so I give you a hard time because you love Minneapolis. You once told me Minneapolis was a top five city in America.
That ends a complete
You did. You know.
Complete line. This is a very important differentiation I have to make to our listeners.
Yeah,
you're a top 10 summer city.
You
take out the South, top 10 summer city.
All right, because New York stops being New York in the summer. I forgot. Joey, if you can, I know this is really hard. Can you name five better summer cities than Minneapolis?
Ten, bro.
I'm from Iowa.
I'll just go NBA. I won't even use like all the cities in the United States. I'll just go off the NBA cities. Okay. Miami, New York, one. LA. I'll take Charlotte. I lived there for 5 years.
Oh, shut the
Joey. No,
Charlotte.
Over Minneapolis? I've been to Minneapolis. I've been there.
Charlotte in the summer, 100 degrees and 90% humidity. Come on.
Okay, man. Can you give me one other than Charlotte? Charlotte's a great call, but you guys.
What about Milwaukee, Joey?
No. You mean I went
actually,
to
Las Vegas is a better city. San Diego
in the NBA. I'm just going to NBA cities.
Also, you know me. We can argue about this for the next hour. I hate Las Vegas. Hate Las Vegas.
Chicago, Dallas.
I'll go Minneapolis over Dallas, maybe.
I like Dallas. I always had a good time there.
Austin, Texas is awesome.
In the summer? Yep. I mean, again, this is why I'm saying the summer, because like there are certain cities that are incredible cities. I love Austin.
Well, A, summer is 3 weeks long in Minneapolis, and B,
you know, dude, I'm talking about these three perfect weeks.
He said top five city. He didn't say summer city. And then I came after him.
And I said 10, and I said summer. You lie. I will kill you.
I just want the people to know as we get to these, you're going to kill me? You're going to threaten
that's right.
Podcast?
Edit that out for legal purposes, please.
Hey, no, don't edit it out. Call HR and play the clip. Yeah, I got the podcast to myself. We finally poured Forgrave out.
Unfortunately, took three episodes.
I just want the people to know the context of your comments when we get into Minneapolis and T-Wolf stuff. Because top five city read for good Minneapolis silliness. Although Joey just went Charlotte.
I know.
About that. Every year Joey's like, you know, I really just feel like Charlotte this year is going to get it done with Cliff. I think Cliff's a great coach too, but Dwight Howard's still on his team, bro.
Hey, do I get to defend myself on this one?
No.
No, you're producer. Oh, man. All right, you can defend yourself later.
I think we feel the same way about Dwight. You know how I feel about Dwight too.
Yeah, he subtracts from the sum of all human and basketball joy.
I buy into the Lee Jenkins redemption piece, man. I buy in.
I love Lee. He's great.
He could write
10,000 words about your Minneapolis top five city thing, and people be like, you know what? I'd never give Minneapolis the credit that we should. Then they would go and be like, why don't we go to Chicago?
I literally need to like personally commission that piece to him to be written for our site. Prove it. You're right. Top 10, bro. 10.
Oh, my God. Which player is most likely to have a breakout season 2017-18? Two players who play one of the top three cities in America. Karl Anthony Towns, number one at 21%. And I like this pick. Andrew Wiggins at 7% on the list. You've got Porzingis, Turner. I like Nurkic a lot in Portland. And obviously Wiggins at 5, Reed. Who's, you got a favorite on here? Joey.
Well, I mean, the Wiggins one sure is interesting because he still just oozes potential. And yet, defensively rebounding, there's still.
Can I add a caveat to that?
Yes.
Was talking to Rip Hamilton before the podcast, and we'll have him on in the next week or so. He's awesome. He made the point, and he played, right? And he played for Thibodeau in Chicago, so I think he'd know. He absolutely believes what I think a lot of us hope for, which is that that team and Wiggins in particular are going to respond to Jimmy Butler's presence.
Yeah.
So let's say that happens.
They've got it. They've got it because that team last year was a pretty major disappointment, I thought.
26 in defensive efficiency rating, top 10 offensive team, interestingly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were terrible defensively. And for a Thibodeau team is kind of ridiculous. But Miles Turner being on this list is really interesting to me. Like, are the Pacers going to build around Miles Turner as a star? I don't know if he's a star. I like his game a ton. I was one of the people during that draft who thought he was criminally underdrafted, but having him as a breakout season guy on a team that is that bad.
If I told you he'd visited Minneapolis before?
I would vote for him in everything. MVP? MVP, bro.
Joey Levin, our producer, the bearded one who worked in basketball for a decade, NBA for a long time, in Charlotte, one of his four top cities in America, actually had a unsolicited Miles Turner take the other day. Joseph, what was it? Remind me. Don't jump it all at once.
No. I think that he was like fifth or sixth on their team last year in usage rate. Paul George is gone. Jeff Teague's gone. I think he has a chance to be an all-star type of talent with the amount of touches he's going to get on a seemingly bad team that has a bunch of decent role players. If he can become a star, I mean,
I think, I'm with you. I think like when you watch him on League Pass, right? Like the eyeball test, he's one of those guys that like sort of jumps out, even though, you know, like he was just a guy last year. I think he passes the eyeball test. All right, let me read you guys. Can I read you guys some of the other names on here? I want to Jaylen Brown, Caldwell Pope, Anthony Davis, Embiid, Gary Harris, Rodney Hood. I actually love this one. Brandon Ingram. I think Lonzo could be really good for him. LaVine, Jamal Murray, who I like coming out of school out of Kentucky. Reed, you and I were at that game in Des Moines, Iowa, watching Jamal Murray play. We're talking about, like, he has an NBA body. Ben Simmons. Any of those? Is Ben Simmons, can you really be a rookie and have a breakout season?
It's a little weird. Sure. I mean, I think people are kind of like sleeping on him to some extent. The weird one here that doesn't make any sense to me is Zach LaVine. Like, you can't vote for your own players. You can't blame Chicago for voting for him. But it's like, he's coming off an ACL. Really? This is going to be his breakout season.
I actually like, what about Brandon Ingram? Like, you spent a lot of time around him. You know him. I'll do my full disclosure. I covered one of his games with Duke that was in Anaheim, and he was like basically was non-existent for, I don't know, the first 15 minutes of the game. And then there were these flashes, this moment where it was like, holy cow, it's Kevin Durant. Not even Kevin Durant, but just like, this is an otherworldly kind of thing. And I don't know. I mean, not that it's perfectly analogous, but in L.A., Jared Goff, highly thought of, didn't handle L.A. in the spotlight really well. Year two, Jared Goff, extraordinary so far. Ingram's in a lot better situation. Why not Brandon Ingram as the breakout
player? Yeah, I mean, I think Lonzo helps. It doesn't just help him. Helps everybody on that roster. I'm going to talk about him until I'm completely wrong. I think Lonzo's going to be an all-star. I think Brandon Ingram's still just a kid. I think he's got another couple years before he breaks out.
Joey Levin, by the way, we sometimes do this on Skype, and I just love like looking up and making eye contact with Reed, and Joey's like on his phone, like texting the ladies, like, hey, want to hang out in Charlotte sometime? It's a top five city. What's going on, Joey?
They even get it. You got to keep them happy, man, you know? Particularly the ones from Charlotte.
I'm married. I just got to keep one of them happy, and that's by not being too hard on the Cleveland Cavaliers because she's from Ohio.
Lori, noted Cleveland Cavaliers fan, Lori Ryder.
She's not, but her family is huge Cleveland fans.
I had no idea.
Write or say stuff and it gets, I hate Facebook too. And Lori puts it on there. Then her family's like, why is Bill hating on our team? Yeah, they're big Cavs fans. Can I swear on this? Am I allowed to swear on this? Stamp this and bleep it out, right?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Forgrave. All right. So, one of the things that I think is really interesting, and I want to try to guess this, which, you know, makes me kind of a jerk, but all but 97% of the GMs predicted that the Warriors will repeat, right? So based on my math read, because I'm a mathematician, 3 GMs did not take the Warriors. Do you want to play?
I think I'm gonna check your math. I think that's 2 GMs.
I'm always wrong. I'm so bad at math.
Math, bro. Math.
All right, dude. Do the want to do 2 to make it easier?
Yeah. Let's do 2.
All right, 2 makes it. So, okay, you can't vote for your own team, right? You can vote for somebody else. I'm gonna go Sam Presti, because of the bitterness of Durant, and I know Sam. Back in the day when Sam returned my phone calls all the time before he got big time. And I like Sam. I think he had a great offseason. And I love that he takes himself really seriously. I think he's awesome. Presti won. Did you like that? Did you enjoy that? And
shots fired.
GM number 2. I'm going to go Danny Ainge or...
That's what I was going to say.
Or Kobe Altman voting for the other team just not to vote for the Warriors.
I feel Ainge has that sort of like... that gamesmanship in him that he feels like he can, you know, spite someone. I think Ainge. I like Ainge for that. Cody Altman's interesting. I feel like those are 3 pretty solid picks there.
Kobe's a young guy trying to prove his way. Right. So like, I can see him just like, I'm not going to be defined by these older GMs.
Maybe Gar Forman was just like, I hate my life right now. I'm just going to try to mess with this. Screw it. I'm voting for the Pelicans.
Maybe Rich Cho was doing a food review when he should have been getting ready for the draft, and he like pushed the wrong button and was like, I would change it, but the caviar's arrived. By the way, the reference to this is, and I don't know Rich. I don't know Rich. I've tried to know Rich.
I like his food reviews, by the way. They're all positive.
Everything's great. Food reviews, I am stuck at Penn Station. There is a Chick-fil-A. The chicken is tender and spicy, yet it tastes like The Foul were happy in their life. It makes me happy. Review, 5 stars. Draft, who cares? Come on, Rich. Come on, Joe.
I'm really glad he just didn't just go in on Chick-fil-A in a negative way there, because we might have had our most.
I do love you. You know that
I once had free Chick-fil-A for a year.
How?
Like every time they, I don't know if they still do this, but when they open a new Chick-fil-A, people stand in line. A lot of idiots camp out, and the first 100 people in line, they give them free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Do you know where this happens? In top five cities in America, like Minneapolis. I've never heard of that.
Des Moines, dude.
You had top five. I love Des Moines. You had free Chick-fil-A for a year?
That's one fat.
I was going to say, how do you not weigh 300 pounds? But then I looked at the Skype.
Yeah, that's like,
stop myself.
Listeners, I do not weigh 300 pounds.
You're not fat. I've gotten fat. Getting old. But I digress. Joey, do you have any dark horse guesses other than Rich Cho? And
My first instinct was Daryl Morey. I don't know. He went out and got Chris Paul. They were the 3 seed last year. He may not have voted for himself. He may have just voted for somebody else just to spite them, even though he believes that they're going to win it.
I mean, that's really funny.
Maybe a couple GMs went in there, like Morey and Presti went in. It's like, dude, let's trade votes here. You vote for me. I'll vote for you. Just don't vote for the Warriors. Conspiracy, Bill Ryder. Conspiracy.
93% is the number, right? I'm doing the math right now.
28 GMs.
How dare you do math properly?
Really good at math.
How you do? Are you? Good at math. Are you good at math?
Do you want to hear
15 times 17.
I have no idea.
Okay. I was setting you up to succeed. I thought that was like a slam. I thought you were like that kid.
Wait,
from,
hold on.
Yeah.
255 or 65?
Well, I don't know. Those are different numbers.
They are different numbers. That's the problem with math. It's very exact. 255, bro. 255.
Do you know what I did 3 seconds before you gave the first answer? I did it on my calculator, too. It's too.
You and your technology, writer.
Are there any more GM survey stuff, producer Joey, that you would like us to dive into before we get to Philly?
Well, I think one that is interesting that will actually get us into Philly is Markelle Fultz getting 0 votes for Rookie of the Year.
That actually is really interesting. Can I add a little bit of context to that? I think it's interesting and worth a conversation. Because I saw the Big Lead did a whole like, what do the GMs think? Does it mean they don't buy him? Does it mean they don't think he's – and they like, and I wanted to be like whoever the Big Lead writer was, like, he's a good one. Like, hey, bro, like, maybe you should have looked at the next question before you wrote the post, because the next one is which rookie will be the best player in 5 years? And Fultz got the second most votes at 21%. So I don't think the answer is they don't think he's very good. Like, they could cross that off your – I know it was a third of your blog, but maybe just like – a little more reporting. So I think it's probably, and we saw some of this last night, maybe they just feel like it's a long-term adjustment for him to learn to play off the ball, and or they anticipate he won't be playing off the ball in 5 years.
Or they saw a video of his brand new shooting form, which looks very similar to my shooting form, by the way. That's a problem.
Basketball. That's a real problem.
That's a problem. That is a big problem. You know what, man? Like, this actually pisses me off every year going into the NBA draft. They're generally, we have these consensus. There's like a consensus, and then there's people who will go against the consensus. But Markelle Fultz, if you said anything other than Markelle Fultz as the hands down number one pick, you were considered an idiot. What I put in as my first pick in May, Jason Tatum going to the Celtics, and I got so much crap from that.
He won't win Rookie of the Year because he won't
win Rookie of the Year.
But he's number two with Fultz on the list at 21% in 5 years.
I hate the groupthink that goes into all this sort of stuff, especially with rookies, these unproven rookies. We don't know. Last year, Chris Dunn was the one who was predicted to be Rookie of the Year. That, as I recall, did not go particularly well.
Different, interesting. Actually, last year was Ben Simmons at 70%, but he didn't play.
No, that was for which rookie will be the best player in 5 years was Ben Simmons.
Oh, you're right.
Rookie of the Year.
Am I dumb now?
Do your reporting, bro. Scroll your phone up.
Karma is a that was really funny.
Producer Joey's about to get very angry with you with swear words, bro. Come on.
The guy that I'm, he's gotta go bleep him out. I mean, that's a lot of work. Do you timestamp that one? Okay, good. When I used to do the podcast with Andy Roddick, all we did was just like drop F-bombs, and they didn't bleep them out. Different company culture at Fox. All right, so as you know, because you work there too, the guy that I actually liked as the potential number one overall pick, depending who selected, that no one's talking about anymore, but he's the most likely rookie to be the best player in 5 years at 24%, Josh Jackson, which we've totally forgotten this guy exists. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, and frankly, like, oh. I like that team going forward. I certainly don't like them this year. I think they're a tanking candidate, but the role that he could play on a team that has a lot of young talent, just as the energy guy, he's not going to be the type of guy who gets 25 points a game. He's not a great shooter. He's fine. He's competent.
Great athlete.
The freakish athleticism, yes. The fact that he is, I think, the best two-way player in that draft.
That's the thing. I'm with you, dude.
Yeah. He's
he'll get at you.
Yeah, this is a very flawed comparison. There's a little bit of Kawhi in him, kind of a mini Kawhi. So, yeah, that I was surprised actually that he was picked as the best player in 5 years. I probably would have picked Lonzo Ball, or maybe Markel Fultz. Although I do think that he is much more of a question mark than people are giving credit for. But look, if I'm picking a rookie this year, I pick either Lonzo Ball or Dennis Smith Jr.
It's a little early on this, but. You brought up tanking. How good is Marvin Bagley in terms of like worthiness? And the tanking rules have changed, which I love.
Yeah. Tanking rules have changed. They will not change till the next draft.
Oh, you're right. So this year it's the same thing.
If you have a top five pick in this draft, like a top five pick is worth tanking for, in my opinion. Marvin Bagley will be either one. He could go as low as three.
Michael Porter Jr. That's low as three. Really?
Michael Porter Jr. or Luka Doncic, the European kid playing in the Spanish league right now, is awesome. He is awesome. So all three of those guys are studs, and then I'd also throw DeAndre Ayton and Mohamed Bamba into that list. But yeah, Bagley, he's a freak. He can do everything, and he's an athletic freak. Duke's gonna be a fun team to watch this year.
Mizzou, our Missouri Tiger. Not to get off track, but you and I both went to Mizzou. We met each other at Mizzou. They're gonna be good.
I love it. Cannot. A little different than the last few years, huh?
It's going to be awesome when Konzo leads them to a two seed. They literally play Norfolk State, and then they lose because they get Konzo'd. It's going to be awesome.
I saw a Norfolk State recruiter a couple of years ago, and I basically...
Do you open palm slap him?
I still hate you, bro. I still hate you.
All right. Yeah, Lonzo. I think Lonzo can be great. But if I had to vote for a guy on this list, which rookie in 5 years, I'm voting Josh Jackson or Ben Simmons. By the way, Dennis Smith did get a vote. Jonathan Isaac did get a vote. Anybody that we're missing here? Reed Forgrave, draft expert?
Let's see. Let me think.
Tatum's on here. Ball, Simmons. Yeah, Fultz.
De'Aaron Fox, I think, is an interesting one because if he can add a three-point shot, and like, look, if you look at his numbers at Kentucky, they were terrible from three, but if you break it down to like the last 10 games, he was a 40% three-point shooter, shot well in high school, et cetera, et cetera. The dude is so fun. He's got a lot of John Wall in him. His college numbers matched up pretty well with John Wall. De'Aaron Fox would be the kind of the dark horse that clearly the GMs are not, at the very least, is not at the top of their mind right now.
All right, so we have to have Joey pull the $1 million duck drop because we are going to do the first annual Reed Forgrave $1 million duck award. The $1 million duck! The $1 million duck award, Reed, for those that haven't seen the phenomenal Disney film that brings joy and theatrical brilliance and one beautiful, beautiful golden egg, is about a duck that, to everyone's shock, learns to lay golden eggs through a process of alchemy I won't get into and changes the lives of everyone around them and teaches them great life lessons. Give me a $1 million duck in this rookie class, a guy people aren't talking about, a guy that isn't highly thought of as it relates to the names we just threw out there, who could be the golden egg that was crapped from this NBA draft.
I don't believe that was the way that they referred to it in the iconic American film $1 million duck. Can I give you a couple? Kyle Kuzma,
yeah,
on the Lakers.
He looks great. He's the best rookie on that team so far.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome.
He's better than Lonzo so far, by the way.
Donovan Mitchell.
He's out of Utah, yeah.
Lottery
Utah
pick. Yeah. But he's a stud, man. He is just a two-way player, like a perfect Rick Pitino player. mean that in a good way. I know we're not talking about Rick Pitino in good ways too often these days. And then, look, Harry Giles, no one thinks that.
I mean, he's just a perfect Pitino player because he's just like a two both ends type of guy.
I was going to make a joke, but I thought it might be too soon.
Yeah, too soon. I don't know. It's been 10 years since the original scandal. Riff off that.
I can make a closed restaurant tables joke.
Yes, please. But Harry Giles is a fascinating one to me because we talked about
Harry Giles
a couple of years ago, the way that we're talking about Marvin Bagley now. And yes, both his knees are torn up, and he was awful for Duke last year. But getting him at the 20th pick, the gamble on that, I think it's a perfect guy to gamble on. I think that's a smart pick by the Kings, which feels a little bit like an oxymoron. But yeah, I think Giles.
Hold on, Minneapolis. You don't equivocate when it comes to Minneapolis being a top two city in America. You can't equivocate here. This is the award, and a lot of these guys that are in the league listen to it. This is the $1 million duck rookie award. You got to give me a single $1 million duck Reed Forgave award winner, because when you're talking about.
I was giving you the finalists. Those were the three finalists. The winner is Kyle Kuzma, because he's going to do
the million dollar duck. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Oh, that's it. That's all I got. Duke can shoot. Duke can play. He's on an interesting young team. Kyle Kuzma, bro. That's a hell of a pick by the Lakers at, what was it, 27, 28,
27. Joey's all
the million dollar duck.
Joey's down on his phone, literally. No, baby, I didn't mean to call you Sarah. This guy's ridiculous. Sarah's my sister. I didn't tell you about her because we're not close. Just found out she has the flu. Joe, you want to weigh in? You look happy.
I'm happy. I'm good. I'm good, guys. I'm good here.
Real quick, Reed. It's a preseason game. It's one game. Simmons and Fultz debut. Fultz looked absolutely brutal. 2 for 13. Simmons couldn't shoot either. 2 for 8. Simmons did in transition look like what he's sort of been advertised to be, which is a incredibly natural, remarkable basketball player with a, with the body of a LeBron James, and the guy's got a handle. I'm really excited to see this team, but Joey and I talked about this earlier. It's clearly going to be a process for Fultz to learn to play off the ball. Do you think it's going to work?
The process continues in a very different way. Yeah, I think it will. I think Ben Simmons needs to learn to shoot. I think he attempted like 2 threes in college.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, he is not a good outside shooter, but he can do so many other things. I like his game a ton. He's a fun player to watch. But he got to add a shot. I mean, like we talked about earlier, LeBron, not a great shooter coming into the league. But look, I know you hate to say this to Sixers fans, but the patience has to continue because you got to love this core that you have right now, but you ain't going to be a 3 seed in the playoffs right now, not this year, unless everything just works out perfectly right from the drop, which it's not going to. So yeah, I mean, you got to love the core though. And I think Fultz is going to be awesome. I think he'll take some time. I think Joel Embiid, if he's healthy, can be top five player in the NBA.
Sarge is a good Covington. They're interesting.
Yeah, JJ. Rishon Holmes is a stud. He's a guy that people don't talk about much, but just like an energy guy, can really dunk it. But yeah, I love what they've done. I hate that Sam Hinkie doesn't get to enjoy the fruits of his labors, because this is Sam Hinkie. This is the result of the process. But you gotta continue to be patient for another year or two, Philly fans.
All right, Reed Forgrave. So I absolutely hate the way that they've done the All-Star game. I cover the All-Star game every year. I recognize that it's absolutely a disaster. But the idea of having captains, and already people are writing about who's LeBron going to pick, who's Steph going to pick, what does it mean that LeBron didn't pick this guy, is remarkable. It's hard not to swear. I'm doing it for Joey. I'm doing it for the CBS brand. I'm doing it for you, Reed, because of your Minneapolis sensibilities, top five city sensibilities. But it's ridiculous. However, the one benefit in the way this works, for those of you that missed it, is there's no Eastern and Western Conference playoff team or All-Star game teams anymore. The top vote getter in the East and the top vote getter in the West will each be the captains and draft a team. And Reed, you and I and producer Joey have come up with a brilliant idea. We're going to have a movement on this podcast. I'll push it on the radio show. We'll push it everywhere that we can, in writing, on the airwaves, homing pigeons, whatever it takes. We are all, as a group, all of us, going to get Lance Stephenson as the top vote getter and hashtag Operation Born Ready All-Stars. He's going to be the guy that gets to draft first. He's going to be the guy that every time he drafts somebody, he blows in their ear. We're going to get him more votes than LeBron. So he picks LeBron. LeBron's like, are you kidding me? It is going to be sheer magic. Are you down with this?
I think Lance Stephenson is the million-dollar duck, dude. Let's mix our podcast.
The million-dollar duck! There, Joey was on it. Joey was on it that time. I think it's going to be amazing, to be honest with you.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant, man. Lance finally gets all the credit that he believes he deserves.
Here's all you have to do if you're listening. The moment that the All-Star game voting opens up, you just start pounding the vote. You start going Lance Stephenson nonstop. You get on Twitter. You get on the Facebook. You hang out. Joey, if you get all your girlfriends to get involved, that'll be a 15 or 16 votes. Hashtag Operation Born Ready All-Stars. And he's actually with us on this, Reed, because and credit you, Reed Forgrave. I know you know him. You've covered him. You've been around him. He has agreed to come on the show right now for an interview. We are joined by the man who has inspired Operation Born Ready All-Stars, Lance, blowing your ear. I'm not mad at you. Stephenson, Lance, my man, thanks for congrats on going back to the Pacers. Congrats on being the inspiration behind Operation Born Ready All-Stars. And thanks for joining the show. How you feeling?
I'm always amped. So I'm just continuing to be amped.
Dude, the fact that you're always amped, I'm not going to lie, I love you brought that up, is the reason that we chose you as the vessel to take down the NBA's ridiculous change in the All-Star game voting. We're so amped to have you on the podcast. I got to ask you, because it's new. It's the Flagrant 2 with Bill Ryder and Reed Forgrave. We love it. Have you listened to the show at all, before joining us here?
I love it, man. Just love it. I love it. It's going to be a great year.
Dude, I appreciate that. I think it's going to be a great year, too, and we love it. Lance Stephenson, huge, huge fan of the show. All right, let's get into it. Lance, you've seen the new All-Star rules. We're talking about them, as you heard. Top two vote-getters get to draft the teams. What do you think of the new format?
Yeah, I was working out, and I got the call, and when somebody told me, I started yelling in the gym, and everybody's looking at me like, what's wrong with him? Why is he yelling? And I was very excited.
Lance, Reed Forgrave here. Been a while, man. Great to hear your voice again, my friend. We are so glad that you're excited because we talked about this a little bit before the interview. We're starting a movement on the CBS Sports Flagrant 2 podcast. Hashtag Operation Born Ready All-Stars. I know there's a lot of characters in that, man. I'm sorry. We don't just want you in the All-Star game for the first time in your career. We want you to be a captain. What would you compare that accomplishment to?
Oh, man, it's going to probably be like Michael Jordan coming back to play in the NBA or something like that, or somebody coming out of retirement and playing.
Really? Lance, you're right. Dude, you're right. I can't lie to you. Michael Jordan, Lance Stephenson, I can't argue with you on any of this stuff. All right, we can't be the only ones who want it. Reed and I know we're not alone. Lance, there are people out there. And for the people out there who might not see you as an all-star, tell them what makes you better than the rest of the NBA.
I'm definitely more mature, smarter, and I feel like I'm definitely a better person on and off the court. So that's all I got to say.
Look, the fact you just took shots at Dwight Howard, you don't have to say it. I know that's who you're comparing yourself to. It's fine. I like it. It makes hashtag Operation Born Ready All-Stars. Really important. Lance, I know you got to run. Appreciate you.
Born ready.
Reed, I'm excited. I'm excited to get Lance Stephenson as the top vote getter in the NBA.
He's the man. That is it was an iconic NBA moment, the blow in the ear. He's basically going to be blowing in the ear of every single NBA fan over the next several months. He's an ear blower, bro.
We got to get it done. Like, I will push it on the national radio show at CBS Sports Radio. We'll write about it. We'll get on, even though I hate social media. We'll get on there. We'll get it done. I don't hate social media. The boss listens to this podcast. I love social media.
You love social media.
Almost as much as I love Minneapolis. By the way, he had 17-6-6, so this could be a lot easier. We could,
that sounds like all-star numbers, man. That's all-star numbers, and that's in the preseason. Lance ain't even trying yet.
Lance not trying. Lance is the man. Reed Forgrave, this is a podcast three of the Flagrant Two podcast with Bill Ryder. That's me and Reed Forgrave. That's you, the guy that actually carries the podcast. And Joey, are those guys still all mad at the other podcast who like also launched a podcast of the same name at the same time and also did it despite knowing that there were four other ones before that?
It seems like it's calmed down a little bit. I mean, I don't know, but I think they're still a little hurt. I think they
man. Those thin-skinned, sad comedians drafting off Charlemagne the God and trying to transition it to a new podcast.
Don't mess with Bill Ryder, y'all.
I would draft off Charlemagne the God if I could. He's amazing. I got to draft off Forgrave. This guy thinks Minneapolis is one of the best cities in America. I understand.
Top three city in the world, bro.
I feel like you're telegraphing your insecurity as an NBA podcaster when you go that angry. By the way, if there weren't four other ones beforehand, that's the other thing. Like, we knew there were four other ones. Like, all right, we'll just do it, whatever. And then we and this other podcast launched at the same time, and it's like they literally took some kid's ball in the playground, pushed them to the ground, turned around. We had the same ball, and they're like, you can't play the same ball we play with. Like, bro, I just saw you steal that kid's ball. What are you talking about, man? Like, just, yeah, bro. Go tell some jokes. Go tell some funny jokes.
Just have them on as guests at some point. It could be fun.
One of the guys like tweeted at me. I didn't even know who he was. He had like a pretty funny gif. Anyway, I like talking about it.
It's fair. You should.
Any closing thoughts? I mean, we gotta let Joey get back to his social life over here.
It's a big social life. It's a big cell phone. It's blowing up with his 15 girlfriends. Where are you at right now, Joey? 16? Yeah, something like that.
He just like to define things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 15 to you guys, but I just, yeah, no definition there.
Yeah, I gotta catch a flight, brother. I gotta go walk in the rain. I got poured on about 10-minute walk to the University of Miami this morning.
We all have hashtag. We all have, like, our personalities come on podcasts. Like, Joey's the player. I am the goofy guy with $1 million duck, and Reed is definitely the diva.
The diva?
The podcast. God. Remember, rate and review the podcast. We would love you to give us 5 stars. We would love to hear what you think. Push the podcast. Please do it on iTunes. Listen, subscribe, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes. You can hit up Reed on Twitter at Reed Forgrave. I'm their sports writer. Sports, my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. We appreciate you. We appreciate you hanging out with us. And we'll be back 2 times a week, very soon 3 times a week, doing the Flagrant 2 podcast brought to you by the guys who didn't steal it from the other 4 guys who did it after them. Bill Ryder, Reed Forgrave, on behalf of Joey Levin, appreciate you very much. Thanks for hanging out. We will be back in just a few days. The $1 million duck!